since I come now. Before your throne, you are my savior, my rock alone. You died to free me from sin and death. Now your living power
is in my brain.
I renounce the darkness, every evil chain, every curse and shadow,
every hindrance,
fear and every torment. Lose your hold on me by the blood of Jesus.
I am set free.
Your word has spoken and it stands for me. Curse down from ancient lines, every chain of sorrow, every dark design. Through the cross of mercy, every time must fall, every spirit hiding must obey the call. Generations trembling as the truth appears, heaven's fire burning through the silent years. By the name of Jesus, every power must flee. Greater is the spirit living inside me. I resist the darkness, I stand in the light. The Lord has given authority to fight.
Set me free.
Spirit, fill me where the shadow stood with your holy fire and your living blood. Every place restored, every heart made new by the name of Jesus. I belong to you.
Morning, everyone. That was Cynthia's choice song for her baptism, and I thought we can't do that justice, and we can't do the flames and everything. So that was the best way to do it, but it is really, really good. Set me free, and the chains are broken in Jesus' name. So that is for Cynthia later on, who is going to be one of the two people baptized this morning. As people are still coming in, let's welcome everyone into the building this morning and let's pray together, shall we? Father, we do thank you for this beautiful morning. And Lord, we thank you for bringing us all together as family to celebrate with Cynthia and Eden. And Lord, we want to praise with heaven this morning and Lord, to sing with the angels. Father, we thank you for this lovely service. Lord, we thank you for your blessing. And Lord, we pray that we would honour and glorify your name, your holy name this morning. So Lord, be with us, we pray. Father, release the spirit that is the deposit within us and allow us to praise and worship you with our whole heart and our whole mind and our whole everything. Lord, we want to bring your worship to you this morning. Amen. Well, thank you for joining in with that. And I would like to read, it looks like I've made a mistake that I've picked the wrong verses, but I haven't. Matthew 14. Nathan's going to speak from Luke 14, I believe, but this is Matthew 14, and it spoke to me during this week. So Matthew 14, towards the end of the chapter, it's a very familiar thing, but the words are really wonderful. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." And then I think this is the most challenging sentence I've ever read in the Bible. "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately, Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." But he did say, "Get out of the boat and walk on the water." And Peter did do that. So he was greatly blessed. And we all need to get out of whatever boat we're in and walk on the water when Jesus says to us to come. Now this morning we have quite a few celebrations going on. I'll give out the, I know it's Chez's anniversary, 25 on Tuesday? 25 on Tuesday. Woo! And Peter and Marion hiding at the back, they are 57 years married today. So there we go. That's something to strive for, isn't it? 57 years of marriage. And Lord, looking around, there's quite a few children in already. Is there anyone who had a birthday in the last couple of days or in the next couple of days? Any birthdays? Oh, hello, Cynthia's daughter. Come on. Olivia's coming up. Hey! Oh, Esther, you're welcome to come down later if you don't want to come down now. Olivia, wow. When is it? Have we 28? Oh, okay, come on then. Olivia, are you going to choose something? Quite a selection there now. A present from the box? Would you like a present from the box? No. While Olivia chooses, we will sing Happy Birthday and bless those who are having anniversaries as well. So bless you, bless those who are having anniversaries and those who have birthdays too, if there's any among the adults. I know there's a few coming up. And we are going to spend some time in worship. And the first song says just that, come now is the time to worship. So if you are able, if you would like to stand, and if you're here for the first time, the words will come up on the screen. You don't need a book or anything, and we will join in worship together, so please do join me. We can come just as we are because salvation belongs to our God. We want to bring you praise from our hearts. Father, we offer up this sacrifice, our praise and worship to you. And for Eden, we are going to praise. So we will praise at every possible moment. We'll praise in the valley, we'll praise on the mountain.
I praise when I don't burn. I praise when
dear. Please do take your seats and catch your breath after that one. Oh dear, I definitely need a drink. There we go. We are going to mix it up a little this morning. We're going to have Cynthia come and give her testimony, and then she's going to be baptized, and then we want the whole church to pray for Cynthia. That's that. And so we'll all pray all together. Cynthia will stay in the water and we'll all pray for Cynthia. If there is anyone who specially wants to come forward, that's fine. Come forward and pray for her. But she will stay in the water with Cresta and Ricky, and we'll all pray for her. And then same for Eden. We'll hear his testimony, and then we'll baptize Eden, or Ricky and Cresta will baptize him. And then we will all pray all together for Eden as well, so that the whole church, the whole family, is blessing both of them. And then we will lead into a little bit of prayer all together as well. So it's going to be testimony, baptism, all prayer, testimony, baptism, all prayer. So that's slightly different maybe to how we've done it before. So we are going to shuffle away off here and let Cynthia come first of all and give her testimony.
Hello. My name is Cynthia, and today I'm being baptized as a public declaration of my faith in Jesus Christ. Over the last few years, my life has not always gone the way I expected. I have experienced challenges, disappointments, uncertainty, seasons where I felt overwhelmed. There have been times when I felt hurt, anxious, lonely, unsure, and about what the future would hold. Through all of this, I have come to realize that God has never left me, even during the difficult moments. He has continued to guide me, strengthen me, and carry me when I did not have the strength to carry myself. I have felt God drawing me closer to Him. Today, I choose to follow Jesus wholeheartedly. I am not being baptized because I'm perfect or because I have everything figured out. I am being baptized because I know that Jesus is my Lord and Savior. And I want to continue growing in my relationship with Him. Thank you to my family, friends, and church family for your love, encouragement, and support. Most importantly, I thank you to God for His faithfulness, mercy, and grace. Amen. Amen.
Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior and Lord?
Yes.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in His church and in the world?
Yes.
Cynthia, on profession of your faith and at your own request, We baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Yay! Woo!
Together, amen. Let's pray for Cynthia.
Let's pray.
Father, we thank you for this testimony and witness this morning. And Lord, we want to bring all of our prayers to you right now. Lord, we speak them out. We speak over Cynthia in your name. We speak Jesus into her life. Please do join me and let's pray for Cynthia.
Hi everyone, my name's Eden and I'm here to get baptized. Alright. Alright. I always went to church and saw people get baptized, but I never knew the true meaning towards it. The meaning of baptism didn't mean much towards me before, as I never knew the true meaning and the value that I held. But as I grew older, that wasn't the only thing that grew. So did my faith towards God. As I felt, my life and my relationship with God had grown much stronger. As I've put more time into Christ, and I believe that he truly died for my sins and was resurrected, and to show new hope and new life, which resembles baptism. And as when I dip my head in the water, that shows my rebirth. And I come out the water, that represents my new start and my initiation into faith. And as I'm about to be baptized today, I wish to wash away all sins I hold, all impurities I hold, and to wash away any evil spirits attacking me. And once I come out the water, I want to be resurrected as a new man who is fully ready to commit to God.
Eden, yeah. Do you believe in one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your own personal Saviour and Lord?
Yes.
Do you commit yourself to following and serving Christ in his church and in the world?
Yes.
Eden, on profession of your faith and at your own request, we baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Your arms together. Yeah! You're gonna get paid for it,
yeah. pray for Eden and his ongoing walk with Christ. Please speak it out over him.
Father, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord, when young people give their lives to the Lord.
Father God. Lord, we know the battle they have outside, Father. But Lord, we just say thank you when they stand up there and say, Jesus Christ is Lord, Father God. It just makes our hearts beat, Father. We just pray for protection over his life in the name of Jesus. No weapon formed against him shall prosper. Greater is he that lives in he than he that's in the world. Yes, Lord, you are for him and not against him, Father God. And we just praise you for him in the mighty name of Jesus we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
Let's continue as a whole body, as a whole family, and support Eden and Lord to support the whole family together as well in this special day for them. So please do speak out your prayers, just as you did for Cynthia. Let's pray for Eden as a whole church. Yes. Nathan comes to speak to us. We're going to sum up. Really, this is what Eden said in his testimony. So if you are able, would you like to stand and we'll sing, Yet Not I, But Through Christ in Me.
forsaken, for by my side, my Savior, He will stand. I labor on in weakness and rejoicing, for in my need, His power is displayed. To this I hold, my shepherd will defend me. Through the deepest valley He will lead. Oh, the night has been gone, and I shall overcome, yet not I, but through Christ in me.
Father, we ask that you will bless Nathan now as he bring your word and your wisdom to us. Lord, speak through him and bless him as he has produced this message. Lord, we pray that you would bring fruit from this time. Amen.
Christ alone, cornerstone, weak made strong, in the
Savior's love,
through the storm.
Lord.
Yes. Let's say it again. Christ alone.
Christ.
He's our cornerstone.
Cornerstone.
Hallelujah.
We
in the Savior's love, and through the storm,
He is
Lord of all. Christ alone, Christ alone,
cornerstone,
weak made strong, in the
Savior's love,
through the storm,
He is Lord, Lord of
Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. When everything around me shaken, I've never been more glad. I've never been more glad that I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's never let, He's faithful through every generation. Yes. So why would He fail now?
Why would He fail now?
He won't. He will. Yes. That's a new version of Cornerstone. Let's say it again from the top. Christ. Christ is my firm foundation, the rock on which I stand. The rock on which I, when everything around me shaken. Yes. I've never been more glad that I've put my faith in Jesus. I put my faith in Jesus, 'cause He's never let me down. He's never, He's faithful through every generation. Faithful through generation. Yes. So why? So why?
He won't.
Yes, yes. Praise the Lord. Amen. See, we can sing new songs and learn them just from like that. Amen. Impromptu. To God be the glory. Great things He has done. And certainly to just give God thanks today for Cynthia and for Eden. Powerful testimonies that they shared with us today. And it's so, so inspiring to hear what the Lord has done in their lives and how they have made that bold, bold decision and step to come up here to share their testimony and to be baptized according to God's holy word. Aren't we glad about it? We are so glad about it. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to be before you long, but I just want to read a few verses as our take home this morning, just to bring summary to what we've experienced here today through the testimonies of Eden and Cynthia, but also as they've been baptized, the question that I want to leave with them, but also for all of us, is what's next? What's next? What do we do next? Now that I'm a follower of Jesus, now that I believe, now that I've been baptized, what's next, Nathan? Where do I go from here? And I want to lift for you, we're of course in a series, this is the second week of our new series, we're looking at life-changing stories from the Bible, and we're looking at the parables of Jesus. And Jesus here, he's having a conversation with crowds of people, and in order to get there and grab their attention, he's going to tell two short stories. And this is what happens from verse number 25. It says, large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said some very, very strong words. He says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. Wow. Jesus, couldn't you have said something else? I mean, couldn't you? Some strong words. If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wow, brothers and sisters, wife,
Now, spouses, don't get any ideas now. I'm going to bring this into context in just a moment. And verse 27 says, "And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple." Reading these words and taking them literally, we may accuse Jesus of some very harsh words here. Really? We should hate our father, our mother, brother and sister, spouse, children? Really? This seems to go against even the word of God that tells us that we're to honor our father and our mother, that our days may be long in the land. So what's going on here? Well, what Jesus is talking about, church, is the cost of being a disciple. The cost of being a follower of Jesus Christ. Because crowds of people would ordinarily follow Jesus wherever he went. Galilee, Capernaum, Nazareth. They would follow him. But although crowds of people would follow him, not everyone in the crowd was really following with the right intention. Not everyone who was a part of the crowds and the masses were following Jesus, here it is, with the right motive. So Jesus wanted to ensure that if you want to really follow me, if you truly want to live for me, then you need to count the cost of what it really takes to be a disciple. Now, let me say this, and it was shared through the testimonies. The gift of salvation is free. You and I cannot pay for the gift of salvation. We cannot earn salvation. We could try and do all the good works we can from the day we were born to the day we leave here, and still, that would not be enough to pay for our salvation. The Bible lets us know that it's by grace that we are saved, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we are saved because we believe in the finished work of the cross. We put our trust and confidence in what Jesus accomplished, not what we accomplished, but what Jesus accomplished over 2,000 years ago when he died on that cross, but death could not hold him down. But on the third day, he rose, as Eden says. But my baptism, it points to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, that death could not hold him down. So number one, we cannot earn salvation. We cannot pay for salvation. Salvation is free. But what Jesus is getting at here, and this is what I want to leave with Eden and Cynthia, and for all of us as a reminder as Christians, is that although the gift of salvation is free, being a disciple of Jesus costs something. Let me say that again. In order to be saved, the gift is free. We cannot earn salvation. We cannot pay for salvation. We get to heaven not by works, but by what Jesus accomplished. But in order to be an effective disciple for Jesus in this day and age, in this modern world that we live in today, it's going to cost something. It's going to take some sacrifice. And Jesus, he wants to paint this picture. He's saying, listen, I know you're following me. And sometimes crowds would follow him because they were just interested in the miracles. Especially the ones where food was attached. Man, this is great. A free meal. And food to take home. So Jesus wanted to make sure and try to center their thinking that, listen, yes, it's good that you're following me. And even today, we would love to see our church fall to the rafters. We would long for the day to see no space in our sanctuary, wouldn't we? We would love to see droves of people in Sittingbourne queuing up to come into the church. But here is the point. Amen. Yes, amen. But here's the point. Yes, crowds are good and appealing. But the question that Jesus has for the crowds is, do you know the cost of what it takes to be my disciple? I'm not talking about being a Christian, but to be a disciple. What does that mean? A disciple means that we follow the way of the teacher. We model and shape our lives based upon the teaching of the teacher. And in order to do that, it's going to cost us something. So Jesus is not saying that we should literally hate our mother, hate our father, despise our wives and our husbands. That's not what he's saying. But what he's trying to say to the crowds is, if you truly want to be my disciple, then you are going to have to put me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all of these other things will be added onto you. So the number one priority, then Cynthia, and for all of us here today,
before we go home, is have we really truly made
Jesus our number one priority in our lives? Yes, we can be a Christian, but sometimes we can allow the world and the busyness of this life to put Jesus on the back burner and to put him down the table of what's important in our lives. Jesus says, if you're going to be my disciple, then I don't want you to despise the people and the things that you love, but you've got to prioritize me as number one in your life. So finally, he goes on to tell these short two stories. Look what he says. He says, suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying this person began to build and wasn't able to finish. What Jesus is saying here is that if someone wants to build a structure or a house, first there needs to be some planning. Do you have enough materials, resources to finish the task at hand? And so it is with all of our lives as believers. It's not that we just say yes to Jesus one Sunday morning or whenever we do. We get baptized and then we put our feet up and say, well, that's great. I look forward to heaven. But Jesus wants us to understand that every single day he wants us to grow in our walk with him. He wants us to deepen our devotion and our worship to him. It's funny, in Jamaica, if any of you have been to Jamaica, you'll find that when you're traveling in Jamaica, oftentimes you will see houses, just derelict houses, and some housing structures that are half complete. Just left. They started the job, but they didn't finish it. Why? Maybe there's several reasons why they couldn't complete it, but could it be, as Jesus says, that they did not count the cost? It's one thing to start, but do we have the faith and the courage to complete what we have started? So I want to encourage Eden and Cynthia and all of us here today that, as Paul says, the Christian race is not a sprint. It is a long endurance race. Absolutely. There will be ups and downs. There will be times where we feel disappointed. There will be times when we mess up and we miss the mark. But I want to encourage you, Eden. I want to encourage you, Cynthia. Don't give up. Keep on going. Don't turn back to follow this world. But keep your eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you fall, his grace will pick you up again. If you fall, his grace will pick you up again. If you fall again, his mercy will pick you up again. But whatever you do, don't give up. Don't turn back. Keep looking ahead. As Paul says, the author and the perfecter of our faith. Keep looking to Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't give up on the journey. So the first short story, he says, it's like those who are building a tower. They need to first sit down, count the cost. But then he goes on to share another short story. In verse 31, he says, or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he's not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In the same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. It's interesting, even in our modern day, now, today, we have wars, countries fighting against each other. And even now we see, I'm not going to name any names or any countries, but seemingly it's one thing to start the war. But did those in power and authority count the cost of what it would take to bring a resolution and an end to the war? One Friday we get an update, there will be peace. Then by Monday we're going back to war. Friday comes around, there will be peace. We're going to sign tomorrow. Then Monday comes around, we're going back to war. Total demolition. Did we count the cost? I want to finally leave this with Eden, Cynthia, and for us all today. A few months ago, I went to buy some shoes. As I was checking out, they said to me, with your shoes, we have what's called some protector spray. Would you like to purchase some protector spray? In my mind, I think, I don't need no protector spray. But then the lady said to me, I think you will need them because there are some great benefits to the spray. When you spray your shoes with the protector spray, if you happen to be outside when it's raining, if you encounter some dirt, if you encounter some grime on the pavements, then what you will find, because the shoes are protected, the elements, the outside, the dirt, the grime, the filth, there will be a layer of protection that will cover and protect your shoe. It will bring durability to your shoe. It will extend the life and the value of your shoe. And likewise, Cynthia, Eden, and for all of us who are disciples of Jesus Christ, yes, we give our lives to him. Yes, we get baptized. But we need the protection of God each and every day as we live in this world full of darkness. I was talking to our youth pastor in the week, and we was talking, and I shared with him that when we're saved, when we give our lives to Christ, we are saved from the penalty of sin. We're no longer condemned by sin anymore. But although we are saved from the penalty of sin, until we get to heaven, we still have to live in a world where there is the presence of sin. And this can mess us up, especially new Christians. Because new Christians sometimes can be so full of zeal and passion and excitement that their newfound joy with Jesus, they're in that honeymoon period. And they expect all things to be transformed in their lives. And they run into difficulties and obstacles along the way that knock them off course. And they start to think, did I make the right decision? I thought that if I would give my life to Christ, then I would no longer be under attack anymore. I thought that if I get baptized, I would no longer be tempted by the same temptations that I fell short by before I came a Christian. But there are some experienced Christians in this house that can tell you, newsflash, although you give your life to him and we're saved from the penalty of sin, we still have to live in this world that is contaminated by sin. And yes, even as Christians that are full of the Holy Spirit, we will still face temptation. We will still encounter trials and tests and tribulations. But that's why we need the protection of the Holy Ghost, the protection of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit, to yield to not our flesh and its desires, but to yield to the power and the leading of the Holy Spirit. So number one, what's next, Cynthia? What's next, Eden? What's next, church? Now that I'm baptized, now that I'm a believer, what's next? Well, you've got to look out on your journey ahead that there will be ups and downs. There will be trials, there will be tests. And yes, there will be some low moments. But you can rest assured, Eden Cynthia, that you have made the best decision that you could ever make. And as you leave this place today, in the words of Jesus, we need to count the cost of what it takes to be a disciple. Yes, salvation is free, thank God for that. But we still, if we're going to be effective disciples in this world that's contaminated by sin, it's going to cost something. We're going to have to sacrifice some things. Maybe some of the people that we used to hang out with, it's not going to work anymore because they may be pulling us away from our purpose and our destiny. Maybe some of the places that we used to go to, maybe now, because of the cost of our discipleship, we're going to have to make some decisions to say, you know what? This is no longer beneficial for my spiritual growth and journey. Maybe some decisions, personal decisions, are going to have to be made to count the cost of what it truly takes to be not a Christian, but a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen? Let's put our hands together for Eden and Cynthia once again. Amen. And maybe there's someone here today as we draw this service to a close that, like Eden and Cynthia, you need to make a decision for Jesus. One of the things that I love about this church is that we don't just tell one side of the gospel story. We tell the whole gospel truth. We don't just tell you that if you give your life to Christ, it's going to be all sunshine, it's going to be rosy, everything's going to be perfect. Your bank accounts are going to be overflowing with money. You're going to have everything you want. You can do whatever you want. We tell you as it is. But what we can tell you is this, and everyone will agree, that when you give your life to Christ, it's the best decision that you could ever make. Amen. Who would want to live this life without Jesus? No one. And Christ doesn't want you to live without him. He wants to have that vibrant relationship with you. He loves you and he has a great plan for your life. If there's someone here today, maybe you've been touched by the testimony, you've been touched by this service, and you want to make a decision for Jesus today, we would love to pray for you. We would love to pray for you today. Is there anyone here today? Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. You've made your wife cry now. Wait for it. To God be the glory. Is there anyone else that wants to make a decision for Christ? Or is there anyone who is a believer but you've not yet been baptized and you want to be baptized? You want to be baptized? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Why don't some of you in that corner just turn to this dear couple. Pray for them. Pray for them now. Let's do it now. Let's pray as we pray. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Salvation has come into their hearts. And we're grateful. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Yes, Lord. Now, we're going to close this with a corporate prayer, but I don't want to pray this on his own. I want us all to pray this together. Even if you are a believer, I want us to pray this together. Let's pray this prayer together from our hearts. Repeat after me. Father, I thank you that you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for me. I thank you that through his sacrifice, through his blood that was shed for me, then I can receive the forgiveness of my sins. And whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We thank you now for salvation, and we pray that you would help us to be a disciple full of the Holy Spirit and fire, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back. They're going to close us out. It is my joy and delight to welcome back Cynthia and Eden. We're just going to present them with their certificates. Coming up, Cynthia. God bless you, Cynthia. God bless you. Eden, bless you, man. Bless you. Bless you.
Our final song says, come set your rule and reign in our hearts again. So let's have our hearts ablaze with hope. If you would like to stand, if you're able, and join me to sing, Build Your Kingdom Here.
Amen. To God be the glory. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much for coming out to worship God and to be here for Eden and Cynthia today to witness their baptisms. We're so grateful for each and every one of you. And please don't rush off if you don't have to. We have teas and coffees or a cold drink if you want to after the service in the lounge. Because we do have quite a large attendance today, what we are encouraging people to do, just so that we don't have overcrowding in the lounge, if some of us can just get your drinks and then come back into the sanctuary to fellowship, just so that we can create some more space, that will be very helpful. If you would like further prayer, if you'd like to talk to anyone after the service, we do have a prayer corner to my right here on the lower level to your left. There will be some prayer partners that will be there in the corner that will love to serve you. And also, just to let you know, this evening is our testimony evening. And we love to hear your testimonies and what God is doing in your life. And on Sunday mornings, we don't always have the time to hear the testimonies from yourselves, from the congregation. But we do set aside a testimony evening once a month. And it's coming up this evening. So if you have a testimony, if something that God has laid on your heart, please come out this evening, 6:30. We would love to hear what the Lord is doing in your life. Amen? Amen? Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this service today. We thank you once again for Eden and Cynthia. We thank you so much that they've made such a bold, bold decision. And we want to rejoice along with heaven for one who turns away from the world and turns to Jesus Christ. We celebrate with heaven. And we pray, Lord, as we've heard today, that although salvation is free, we can't earn salvation, we can't pay for salvation, but you do tell us that it does cost us something if we're going to be your disciple. If we're going to live for you in this world that is so full of sin, then it's going to cost us something. So help us to count the cost. Help us to weigh up the cost. And if there's changes that need to be made, if there's sacrifices that need to be made, we pray that we'll be willing, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to make those changes and sacrifices for you. Help us to seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. And all these other things that we worry and stress about, they will be added onto us. We leave this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.